good morning. It is a Friday, Getaway Friday, September 28th, 2018, 16 minutes past the hour. This is the normal time where Talk of the Town with Marge Hazel at airs. Marge had an appointment today. She was in this morning, but she will be back next week. So look forward to Talk of the Town with Marge Hazel at next Friday morning at 11:10 a.m. And she'll be back as a panelist on the Exchange Club on Friday as well, 12:10 to 1 p.m. And don't forget, coming up today, we've got Charlie Evers and our new panelist, Brandy Downs, every Friday here on WWGH Radio. And we've got a lot to talk about today, that is for certain. And we've got a lot to talk about this hour because we're joined by candidate for county commissioner here in Marion, coming up in just a little over a month now, Tara Dyer. Tara, it's good to see you.
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning. Good afternoon.
So how are things along the campaign trail?
Things are exciting along the campaign trail. I'm learning a lot, meeting the people in the county, going to the different townships, villages, and municipalities, and canvassing. This is do or die-er week, ha ha ha.
I like
and
it.
So we've been, the rain kind of hampered our efforts at the beginning of the week, but we've been hanging out with Jeff Ratliff, and we were in Morrill the other day, and people came to my campaign office and helped me with writing postcards, and we had a good time then. And yesterday went to the United Way event, and today we're doing yard signs. We'll be putting yard signs in requested people's yards, and I'll do the culminating event is a spaghetti dinner at my campaign office. So come by Sunday after church, 2 to 5. We'll have a good dinner. I'm going to, of course, be registering people to vote. My favorite musician of all times, LaCosta Mays, will be there to tickle the ivory, and also you know, he's just so freaking talented, it's just not even funny. So he has donated some time, so we'll be entertained by him, and just, you know, 3 hours hopefully to do some fundraising, because, you know, it's not cheap to run a campaign. And then I'll be in Scott Tully on Monday, you know, canvassing with my friends there. And so it's just, you know, go, go, go.
Where is the campaign office located for people who don't know?
The campaign office is at 1525 Harding Highway East, right across from Harding. It's the Union Building. We were fortunate as Democrats. We've got three locations. Jeff Ratliff has his office at Southland Mall. And then Janet Garrett, just at 137 Church Street, she's got a place there. And then I've got the place. So we've got strategic locations all over Marion. If people want to volunteer, and they can come to any of these places. We're trying to ride that blue wave, you know, and be present in the community and let Marion County know that the Democrats care and we want their vote.
Well, this is something here at the station, because we'll be doing live election coverage the night of the election.
Oh.
Will this be, I think this is the fifth year we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Will this be a blue wave? Because 2 years ago, we saw a red wave.
Yes.
Put a lot of people in office who were not expected to win their races, but they did, because mm-hmm. there was a red wave. Mm-hmm. Is there a feeling that there will be a blue wave in Ohio?
You know, with there are a lot of angry constituents in Ohio. You know, there are things going on that people know that the only way that you can elicit change is at the ballot box. People don't know how powerful a vote may be. So, you know, we got Rich Cordray at the top of the ticket, you know, and he's coming in next Friday, a week from today, I think. So he's going to do a fundraiser here. He's been here a couple of times to energize, you know, the Democrats. Janet Garrett comes here frequently. You know, we're trying to just strengthen our ground game and not be lazy. You know, we're trying to meet the voters face to face and knocking on doors and stopping people in different venues. So we're praying that, you know, that blue wave occurs here in Ohio. It's going to be difficult, though.
Want to come to the local races here in a second, because sometimes that's very difficult because locally there are no polls taken. But one thing that I have been struck by in Ohio so far, being just a little over 30 days away from the election, is that the governor's race is so tight.
It is, isn't it?
It is. And I would imagine if there was a blue wave, because Sherrod Brown seems to be walking away with his race against Renee.
Sherrod Brown is awesome.
Right. And even this O'Connor Balderson race, it seems playable.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the governor's race, it doesn't seem like Cordray is pulling away from DeWine. And if there was this blue wave, which we had all heard, why do you think that's not happening?
You know, the Cordray-DeWine battle, if you will, they switch back and forth. I think Cordray got a little bump when Obama came to Cleveland, and I was there. I saw my man Obama, and I think that helped a little bit. Cordray is a solid pick who, along with Betty Sutton, I think have innovative ideas and a really good plan for the state of Ohio. I don't know why, because both of them are known. DeWine, you know, same old stuff. But both of them are really, really well-known Ohioans. So it's just really hard to, like, pull away. And it's not like a slam dunk. I think the polls were like 48-48 or 49-48, whichever poll you look at. So it's just hard to pull away. You know, we'll know.
They're working on the windows. if you hear pounding, they're working on the windows here today at the building, which is fine.
Yeah.
But
that's not Scott hitting me with the hammer.
Or not pounding the table Governor Rhodes used to do. He pounded tables. But the Janet Garrett Jim Jordan race also still seems to be, which it has been for a long time, in Jordan's favor.
Yeah, the Tea Party strong contingency, and I think when Jim Jordan had that Ohio State stuff going, you know, his popularity dipped a little bit, but not significant enough to change the perception of the voters out there. I hear he's coming to town, too. He'll be here.
At Mayor Kellogg's house.
Yeah, won't that be enjoyable?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Janet Garrett will be calling in next hour, so we'll hear from her today. Representative Jordan was on a month and a half ago, something like that. That was an interesting discussion we had.
Yeah.
And Mike DeWine was on last week. Cordray's been on. So, you know, they've all been on.
Nice. We're getting a good taste of the candidates so that the voters can make an informed decision, you know. And I think, you know, I would caution people to, you know, it's country over party, you know. It's country over party. Think about the implications of what the United States, you know, is going to look like if we put certain people in certain positions. So country over party. And I'm glad the mistake that we made before the Democrats made is that we weren't visible in the communities like, you know, Marion and Lima, and you know, those communities where you could really, really make a difference as far as voting is concerned. And so Janet Garrett, I think one of the smartest things that she did was have an office and bring some people here manning that office, which I know Tuesdays and Wednesdays for sure, 9 to 12, that they're open. You can go in and get yard signs. You can get, you know, material. And if you, she was a teacher like me, so we're like kindred spirits, and she has some really, really good ideas and concepts of what she would like to do when she represents us in Washington.
You know, it's interesting because the races we're watching, of course, are the governor's race, the congressional race, and the, mm-hmm. the local races. Mm-hmm. And one thing I have to credit you and Ken Stiverson, your opponent, with, mm-hmm. is that I have not seen, and if it's there, I haven't seen it, mm-hmm. I have not seen any negative literature on either side with mm-hmm. the other person's name in
no,
it.
No, no.
I've seen that in other places.
Yeah. Listen, I told you when I first declared that this was not going to be a nasty race. I wasn't going to go into Stiverson's closet and rattle, you know, those bones in the closet and stuff. And he's been very respectful to me. I go to every single county commissioner's meeting, and he has not, you know, I mean, he's been totally, totally respectful. We haven't got in the mud and the muck as far as each other are concerned. He's running a race and I'm running a race. I just happen to be the person that wants his job. And I have to present to the Marion county, you know, why they should choose me over him. That's all. I mean, it has not been nasty to his credit and also to mine. You know, I said I wasn't going to do that, you know. Well, your mama this and you do, you know, and you're smelly and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like the issues. I may take umbrage to the way he votes on certain things, but you'll never see me, you know, unless it's really, really egregious. I think I've only spoken maybe 6 or 7 times at county commissioners' meetings and stuff. And that one time was to when we talked about the sheriffs and them getting the buying the building for $1.2 million. And a lot of times people didn't know. I asked them also what they were going to do with the old building. I talked about renovations and those kind of things. And then we also talked a little, I talked about blighted houses. So I'm going to, you know, there are things that concern me as a citizen of this county, and our legislators work for me. So we've been really, really cool. But, you know, who's to say when we do the leak thing, he might pull out, you know, rabbits from his house. Are you doing that again this year?
No, no, that's rotating around now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so there'll be somebody else this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting, but we'll be there to cover it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be at Harding High School, too, this year.
Yeah, I heard they moved it over October 16th, I believe.
Right.
So I believe it's on WZMO.
So they just decided to rotate it around to
We had a meeting with the league, and mm-hmm. that's, you know, I think it's good in a way that it is rotated, because that way the same people are not doing it every time.
Well, I mean, no one was really interested until you kind of threw your hat in the ring there, and now everybody's like, okay.
Well, I think Tom is a good guy, and I think he'll pull it off just fine.
Who's doing it?
I believe it's Tom White. I don't know who'll be moderating.
Okay.
But I know it's WZMO, which Tom Wagner heads, okay. Which is 107. No, they had to change that on the dial. It used to be 107.5.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure where it is now, but somebody will let me know, and we'll,
advertise.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there. But it's an interesting thing, because that's a fun night, and there's a lot of electricity in the room.
Yeah, it just goes so quickly.
It does go by fast.
You know, and even though the answers are timed and you get so many seconds to, you know, give your answer, and then the other person has the opportunity to respond and so on and so forth, it just seems like it just goes. And but this time, it's the prosecuting attorney, and then we'll have the judges.
Right.
And then we'll have the county commissioners, You know, so the stage might look a little empty because this before it was like 16 people. So,
By the way, WZMO is 104.7. So okay. That's where you will hear the League of Women Voters on October the 16th.
Yeah, that's what I was looking. So you got it.
We got 16th. It. 104.7. Okay. October 16th. I said October November. 16th. October 16th. Mm-hmm. The idea.
6 o'clock? 7?
I believe it's 7.
Okay.
I think so. One thing that's been interesting to me, like I said, when we come back to the way people have campaigned, I've seen some negative campaigns. I've seen some negative things. As a voter, because you will vote as well, does that turn you off when you see things like that? Or is that, in your idea, that's the way politics goes?
I don't like it when people use unfair methods to win. I don't like dirty pool, dirty politics. I don't look, I see the negativity, but I also am smart enough to study, to see, you know, a lot of people I've been talking to, they said, well, I'm not a, you know, I may be a Republican, but, you know, I may like this person, I may like Jeff Ratliff or something like that, you know. So I like the informed voter. Don't vote for me because you were in my class in third grade. You know, vote for me because of the messaging that I'm bringing, or, you know, what I can do for the county. You know, what am I bringing? So the dirty politics to me sometimes show desperation. It's like you don't have any other way to win. And frankly, I don't think I would want to win if I had to employ those dirty kind of nasty kind of things. And we see that every day, all day on CNN, MSNBC, you know, those kind of things. And I just don't like it.
Well, the thing that bothers me about it in the media is that it usually starts out as not such a bad comment. But by the time the person reads it, it's about them. They feel it's a bad comment, so then they fire back. Mm-hmm. And then we're just off and running until election day. And, I mean, I noticed that first governor's debate. Gee whiz.
Yeah, it was very interesting, though. And, you know, remember when there were 16 candidates in the presidential, and, you know, we had Lion Ted and, you know, Jeb and all that kind of. I just didn't like that. And I just didn't like the direction that it was going. You know, my slogan for my campaign is unity in the community. And we cannot, if we're divisive, you know, there's no way we can unify, because once words are out there, you can't take them back, you know. And I just think, you know, with the negativity comes divisiveness. And even after November 6th, we're still going to be living in this community together, you know. So, and you can't, you know, there are no do-overs or take-backs. So if we want to form that more perfect union, then we have to learn how to get along. And that negativity has no place in my opinion, you know, it has no place in politics. I have seen some things, and of course, I've seen anti-tax stuff, and I've seen things going on with, you know, different people. But I do like how if we're trying to get the message out, how you're bringing in the big guns. So maybe, you know, with the Cordrays and the Jordans and those kind of things. So maybe people can have a nice conversation without, you know, your mama jokes or, you know, those kind of skeletons in the closet kind of things.
You know what I think happened? There's always somewhat been a dirty campaign idea by a lot of people saying things that weren't true or doing things. But in 2016, we certainly saw it go through the roof when it came to name calling.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that people are looking at is name calling won. Yeah. Beat 16 people and won the race.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do we say in that particular? Does name calling win?
I don't think name calling actually won. I think that what really won was the atmosphere that people thought that this person would bring something different to the plate. And I think they thought that he talks like them, you know.
Oh, here we go. Oh,
here's Marge.
Here's that Marge.
That he.
Uh-oh. Well, Marge, come on in.
This stuff down written. Are we on the air?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Is that we in air?
Yeah, we're on the air. Well, just come in and have a seat, Marge.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem at all. We're glad you could make it. Yeah.
Because they told me you were going to be here.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm here.
Well, you're here.
Anyone here?
Yeah, right there in the middle, Marge. Marge Hazlett joining us today. We're very glad to have her. Always fun to have Marge around.
She fought her way through the construction.
She did,
out there.
The window
How
action.
Brave.
They're very nice to me.
Aren't
they
nice?
They're afraid of me.
Well, Marge, how are you doing?
Well, I don't know yet.
Well, we're going to fix it up here.
I've been in here two or three times. I've tried calling people. Nobody answers their phone. Everybody's gone today.
Everybody's out.
Except you and me.
We're here. We're here.
And my darling.
Yes, yes.
But absolutely. Anyway, I'm here now again.
Good.
I was here once before.
We were, and I'm glad you're here now, Marge. So we'll be here for the duration. Kara and I were talking about her campaign and how a lot of campaigns have gotten very
nasty,
dirty.
Oh, really?
Does that turn you off when you hear the names and the dirty laundry out there?
What about all of this stuff from the yesterday?
We're working
toward that.
Okay.
A lot. Well, you know, let's we are in the back 20 minutes here, so maybe it's a good time because it's a big subject because it's happening at 1:30 today.
Yeah, good.
They're voting at 1:30. Who didn't see it yesterday? All we got to say is Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford. The testimony was there this morning at 9:30. The Judiciary Committee took a vote on the idea of still having their vote today at 1:30, and of course it was right down party lines, 11 to 10 Republicans, they are going to vote, and I think it was 5 Democrats got up and walked out of the meeting, wouldn't even vote. So
I am so disappointed in Jeff Flake, though.
He was the one who could have swung it this morning.
I know. I am so disappointed in him.
Here's what I don't know, because his comment was, this is heady stuff.
Okay.
His comment this morning, because he did vote to have the vote today.
Uh-huh.
But he said he had as much uncertainty as he did, I forget the word he used, but it was as much uncertainty and doubt as surety. He has the same amount. Now, because he's on the judiciary, he voted to have the vote, mm-hmm. but will he vote to confirm him? I don't know with a statement like
mm-hmm.
that.
Well, he's gone. I thought that when he said that he was not going to run, that he would be more forthright and be more, hard. Core when it came to a lot of the policies, and you know, it took like Senator McCain to be very courageous and brave, and you know, even Corker, you know, I thought the fact that they were not going to seek, you know, their reelection, that they would be more centralized as to what the people were thinking and stuff, but I was so disappointed when I saw that.
Here's what he said. Kavanaugh, on the Kavanaugh vote, Flake said he urges humility amid doubt and uncertainty. That's what Flake said.
Okay.
So he voted to have the vote, but who's to say he won't vote no?
Come on. I'll bet you a steak dinner.
Well, we got to well, on Flake, I'm not sure, but I tell you who wasn't there this morning. Collins
was
not
there.
She was not there this morning, so we don't know where her vote's
Lisa?
Going. Again, there's somebody else who could
okay.
vote no,
mm-hmm.
and also Corker could vote no.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it only takes one.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why Flake did this,
mm-hmm.
because if they had postponed it, we would have been right back to FBIs and hearings and so on. And maybe that should be, but if today his vote goes down, maybe he knows it's going to go down,
mm-hmm.
and that'll be the end of it.
Well, that's what many people were calling for. They wanted the FBI check, especially Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, you know, they're saying, like, what is so, why are you in such a hurry? You know, would they wait 13 months when, what was his name? Obama's guy. They waited forever, you know, but now all of a sudden it's such a huge urgency to vote, like, right now. I just have a certain perception, and it's eerie how this reminds me of Anita Hill.
Right.
Remember that? Anita Hill and...
Well, the reporting that's going on now, just because we're in real time here, Senator Joe Donnelly, a Democrat from Indiana, just announced he will vote no on Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh. Now, why does this matter? Donnelly was one of five remaining senators who essentially held the future of Kavanaugh's nomination in their hands.
Okay.
So he's now saying no. So now we're down to four.
Okay.
Four are up in the air. It's Susan Collins, two Republicans, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and two Democrats, Joe Manchin. And Heidi Heltekamp, of North Dakota. Now, my guess is the Democrats will vote no, so it's all going to come to Collins.
Manchin, West Virginia, he always votes. He's a Trump guy, but even though he's a Democrat.
But what if Murkowski and Collins both vote no? Still would not pass.
Yeah.
So you think Kavanaugh will be confirmed today?
I don't know. A lot of people were vehemently just hoping just to check him out, you know, just, you know, be more thorough in what. And when they asked him would he support an FBI kind of a thing, they he never, I think six times, and he never said yes or no. You know, but, you know, like, don't you have an ideal in your head as to what a Supreme Court justice should be and what they should look like? Even, I mean, I can't imagine this guy, and these are lifetime commitments. You know, you are a Supreme Court justice until you retire, you die. You know, so can you imagine a lifetime of uncertainty as we have this gentleman sitting on one of the highest courts in the land?
Well, this, you know, everybody thought health care was going to go away until John McCain walked in and threw the thumbs down.
Yes.
Collins and Murkowski could do it today, and they have not been particularly in favor of Kavanaugh. They have said they don't know.
Yeah.
And that's what John McCain said about Obamacare. He said he didn't know.
Yeah, but, you know, Collins, her people were putting pressure on her, and they had raised money to do, and she said, I will not take bribes. I will, you know, vote my heart. And on the issues, I heard she had some invigorating conversations with Kavanaugh. To me, the Republicans are they're not the Republicans anymore. It's a party of Trump, you know, and I think people are afraid, you know, in their home districts to vote against Trump and anything that he stands for. So, you know, I think he'll get confirmed.
I just
with an asterisk.
Well, I just think if he does get confirmed today, women are going to take to the streets.
Well, they're protesting now.
That's what I say. I think it's going to be one of those things like the day after the election.
Yeah, we've been in the streets, you know, and more women than ever are running for elected positions and to make those change. African-American women, you know, with Alexandria Cortez. I mean, there are a lot of people that are trying to make waves. And then I think they're chanting, November is coming, November is coming, November is coming. So, you know, watch your back kind of thing.
Well, Flake's got nothing to lose because he's not running for re-election.
Yeah,
so if he says he has uncertainty, I would assume he might vote no. But I don't know. What keeps him voting yes if he's not worried about being re-elected?
Well, and then he gets on the floor and he makes all these passionate speeches about how corrupt Trump is and how, you know, and then he'll go and vote right down party line. You know, that's why I said country over party.
Marge, what do you think? Do you think Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed today at 1:30? We won't know when we go off the air today.
No.
Charlie will be on the air, and when Charlie's on, we will, as soon as the vote's taken, we'll update the listeners on what's happened.
Good.
But when Brandy comes in here at noon, and Charlie and Marge will be here, and we'll the last hour before, we'll be giving you quite a pre-show of what's going to happen there.
I will be in front of my TV with bated breath.
And where are you going to be?
I'll be here. I'll be with the group. The group on Fridays now. I don't know. I just think the whole thing's a mess.
I do,
too. It's a mess, and I don't know how you unding this bell. And you're not going to – if he's not voted in, then you're going to have an outcry on the other side. It's going to be nasty either way.
But don't you think we should proceed with caution? You know, I mean, it's no big hurry to get this guy confirmed. We knew, though, when Trump was elected, he would probably appoint 3 to 4 Supreme Court justices. Got Gorsuch in there and stuff. But we knew, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, was she about 88, you know?
On in years, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so she'll be retiring, you know, soon, although I did see a great documentary about her on CNN.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was very, very good. So we knew that he would be, you know, he meaning Trump would have that ability to appoint those Supreme Court justices. I'm just saying, you know, if somebody is saying that this horrible thing happened to them, you know, and that this person has these tendencies, I think we just need to take a step back and just look at it. That's all.
You know what I can't figure is if he's removed, if Kavanaugh does not get the votes, or if his name would have been pulled when the allegations came about, Trump would still be appointing the next person, and I'm not really sure why it is so desperate on this particular person.
I don't know.
It's not like the next one's not going to be a conservative. They will.
Yeah, they will definitely be conservative. And then also his stance on what the powers of the president is, you know, and the limits to what and how the president can be charged with certain crimes. His position, of course, on women's rights and issues kind of scare me to death, you know.
Well, did that vote this morning where Democrats walked out, did that change anybody's mind? You know, these Collins, Murkowski, a Manchin, you know, they're watching this in real time. I mean, is that because I thought they would postpone the vote. I really thought, I didn't know if Flake would vote to confirm or not, but I thought at least after the hearings yesterday that they would do at least a week. That's what the Bar Association's asking them to do, is just do a week. I thought they would do that, but they jammed it through. Now, why? What? Mm-hmm. Why? Because the big argument's always been, well, we're not going to put it off till after the election. The Bar Association just said, take a week.
Yeah.
Take a week.
And aren't they the ones that had kind of endorsed him before? And then they had to kind of like retract that. And
so what is the hurry, Marge? Why does this have to be done?
I've been thinking about that as we're talking here. I don't know. It seems to me they've waited all these years, and now all of a sudden this is a big deal, and we're going to push it through.
Well, I would think, what will happen at 1:30? You know, this is one of those times where you really don't know. Now, normally it would be, but when you're down to one vote, and that's all it takes.
Well, and, you know, they said something, too, about, I think it was, I was watching CNN this morning, that they don't want to postpone it. They want to do it on a Friday because they're afraid of other things that may come up over the weekend and in that time frame that from the postponement to the week. So they, you know how Friday is always the day, and then you kind of over the weekend you think about it. But they're on CNN, they said that they did not want to anything else to come up over the weekend, because, you know, two more women have come forth, and
another one I hear on the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But also, will that cut their throat rushing it? Mm-hmm. Because is it like Collins and Murkowski? Are they going to say, geez, we don't have time to think about this? Mm-hmm. It hasn't even been 24 hours since the end of the testimony.
Well, but you know they've interviewed this guy, and you know they probably looked at the reports and those kind of things. But and so they criticize Diane Feinstein because she kind of set on it and those kind of things. And did you hear Grassley yesterday? If you had just done this, and I was like,
he seems very unhappy. I'll say that about him, that Grassley.
He was like nasty. You know, I mean.
I don't know what he had never seen much of him until this hearing, but he's kind of prickly guy.
I've never seen him before.
Oh yeah,
he's a bit of a prickly guy. One thing I wanted to talk about, this will be coming up at 1:30 today, but this week Bill Cosby goes to prison.
Isn't he there now?
He's in prison, mm-hmm. And the story, and this is prison. This isn't jail. Mm-mm. And he'll be there for at least 3 years. And the prison has said they plan on acclimating him to general population. I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if his safety will be. I don't know. When that happened, Marge, what did you think? Bill Cosby sentenced to prison.
Frankly, I don't think at that age, what can he do any harm to now? You know, it's over. As I've said before, we were out in Las Vegas when he was out there at one point, and we sat and talked to him a lot, my husband and I, about school-related things and about many different things. And I had no fear. I didn't even know that he would be like that.
Well, I think the reason they sent him to prison was of what he did. And right. I think the crime was so egregious. I think had it been, you know, something white collar, I think they would have taken some pity. But I think over 60 women, even though this was just about one woman, it's only been 15 years ago that this happened. Interesting. Tara, what did you think about Bill Cosby?
Well, as far as general population is concerned, he has some health issues. You know, he's blind, basically, you know. And then what I thought about him is that the women, if they feel that this is giving them vindication, then good for them. I think also, does this set the new standard for all the other people who are, like we got Harvey Weinstein now. Will he, you know, what's going to happen to him? Is he going to go to jail? And all these other, you know, what about the guy on CBS? His name?
Charlie Rose.
Yeah, Charlie Rose. You know, so does this the new standard make, you know, all these accused, these people who have been accused, now will they get jail time? And what about Matt Lauer and, you know, all of those? So, and I know your callers are going to say, why are you always making it about race? I'm not making it about race. I'm saying, you know, if vindication, you know, for these women, you know, happened as a result of Bill Cosby going to jail, and he's African American, does that set the standard for what all these other people who have been accused of? And Harvey Weinstein, he's up to 100, you know. Does this set the standard on how these things are going to be litigated, you know? So, because, you know, there's always a difference when there are color issues involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Bill Cosby's fall from grace, you know. I mean, Cliff Huxtable, you know, America's dad.
Big fall.
You know, and the other, I was disturbed by the fact that there were so many people there that were for the victims, and Bill Cosby didn't have anybody. His wife wasn't there, his children, you know, when he was sentenced, he was there all by himself. And just to see that visual of how far he's fallen just really made me sad.
You know, this isn't comedy. It was just reported to be true. First night in prison, Jell-O was on the menu.
Shut up.
Yeah. Isn't that
ironic?
Irony, mm-hmm. of all things. Mm-hmm. So it's I never have quite seen a fall like that. Because we didn't know really Harvey Weinstein. We didn't, even these news people. Bill Cosby worked clean in his act. He donated money to colleges. He tried to give speeches to tell people to act positive and be positive. Mm-hmm. And all the time, this underbelly, there just had to be something in his psyche that was just off.
Well, I'll tell you, I never noticed anything really that often. We were there for a couple of weeks for, you know, vacation. So I really don't know.
And
other
is that
than what
something
you read here.
About the times, too, you know, where they just party celebrity kind of stuff, you know, and it's just sad, you know. But in this time of the Me Too movement, I think you have to really, 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 really you know.
Well, I think Bill Cosby, in particular, one of the facets of his situation that was worse than others was drugging.
The drugs.
People. Yeah. I think that I have not heard that anybody else has been quite accused
heard that
of
either.
That.
No.
And that he was actually drugging these people to get them in the situation that they ended up in. And I think that's why the judge's speech was very interesting.
It was.
You know, it's all swirled back to you, and, you know, no amount of fame and celebrity are going to buy you out of this one.
Yeah, and what about his wife?
Oh, I feel sorry for her.
She visited him in prison the first day.
Yeah, his wife is, I have sympathy for her.
I do, too.
It's a sad, sad thing, and to watch him carried out in handcuffs and shackled.
He's not going to go anywhere.
Well, no,
But that's just that's
of
protocol.
Of all the things you thought you'd see in your life, who would have ever thought Bill Cosby and has to register as a violent sex offender in every area he's in? It's absolutely unprecedented.
Yeah, and will he have to serve 10 or was 3 to 10, right?
At least 3.
Yeah, at least 3.
And that's. If the parole board doesn't like his attitude or his behavior in prison, could be more. And at 81, how long's he gonna?
Yeah.
I just don't know about the general population.
I don't know either. But they don't want. I know that they don't want to make it too comfy, cozy for him. You know, it's prison. You know, it's prison.
Right. But I wouldn't you. And I hate to say this, but somebody said this to me. If you're in general population and you're not getting out, and there are murderers, this is a maximum security because this was a violent act he did, would you want to be known as the person who knocked off Bill Cosby? That's an awful thing to say, but when you put somebody in general population, who doesn't know him in there?
Yeah. Well, and you're serving life anyways, you know.
Well, and the crime he committed is one of those unpopular crimes even among prisoners.
Well, you know, the messing with young kids is...
Jeffrey Dahmer, in the bathroom. Yeah. He wasn't in regular population. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's an unbelievably weird time in our society.
It truly
That's what
is.
I'll say. But Tara, before we let you go here, we need to talk about, if you are elected in a month and a week, what do you foresee doing for the county? What are you going to be your big issues?
My big issues, one of the things that I see lacking is, and do I want to tell you or do I want to wait until October because I might give my opponent something to use against me. So a lot of my stuff I will reveal on the League of Women Voters night. But I do have, yesterday I was at a meeting and we were talking about being visionary. And I would like to see us do, we're doing a lot with the blighted houses. So I would like to see us do some things that would not always tear down because we're tearing down Marion and we're not building some things up. So I'd like to look into see if, you know, as a commissioner, the money that we are getting as a result of the transfer conveyors fee, I'd like to see that go toward more building up. I have some other ideas with technology and IT and transparency. I'm not going to elaborate, but I would like to, you know, look at some of the things as far as us coming into this century. The auditor has a nice webpage. Why doesn't the county commissioners, you know, that kind of stuff? So I would like to do that. But remember, too, I have to go in with a bipartisan view because the other two commissioners are Republicans. And yesterday I stated in a meeting, it doesn't matter if you're a D or an R because we're all made in Marion.
Well,
you know,
I would say Appafeller, who's a Republican, mm-hmm. did vote against the increase in taxes.
Yes.
So had there been another person, Appafeller is a Republican, but he mm-hmm. certainly, I think, votes his mind. I don't think he votes party all the time. And I don't even know that Kerr Murray does. I really can't say for sure. I haven't been down there enough to know. Before we part ways, though.
But he's been there like 20 years.
He has been there a while, Appafeller. Yes, he has been there a while.
He's been there like 20 years and stuff. So and that's what we need to do. We need to inflict some new blood and some new diverse ideas and energy. And remember, I'm talking about just having that voice at the table, and not just for minorities, but you know, I come across a lot of people in my day-to-day life. So. But before I leave, I have to say hi to Judy on Clinton Street, who I deliver meals and wills to. So I told her I was going to be on your show, and I said, I'm going to shut. She listens to you faithfully.
Oh, Judy, thank you.
Every day. So I had to shout out Judy on Clinton Street.
Well, we appreciate
it. Hi, Judy.
Yes. Tara, before we let you go, 60 seconds, did you make anything of the clerk, Julie Cagle, leaving her position early?
That's another show, because I think that's a Republican ploy.
A ploy to?
Because she hasn't been at work, right? She hasn't been at work.
I don't know.
You know. Let's research that. But I think the Republicans waited a certain amount of time so that they could make sure that things turned out well for them. Because basically, if the Republicans replace her, they got 2 years. You know, so they did it at an opportune time. It was all strategic with them. But she's been having some problems. And I heard she hadn't been at work and she's on sick leave. And there's something about the days in which she hasn't been there. So research that. And that's what I'm hearing out in the street. It was all a strategic plan from the Republicans. So now they're going to come at me and they're going to say, oh.
Well, we wish her well. We wish her well.
I love Julie Cagle.
Yeah, Julie, I love
Julie Cagle.
We're friendly today.
Yeah.
So we're
Tara, I love her.
Thank you for coming in. We're going to be back in about 10 minutes.
All right.
All kinds of topics to discuss.
Pee-wee Jets defeated the Pee-wee Giants 7-6. The Vikings defeated the Lions 28-0. And the Jets defeated the 49ers.